Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast now in our 20th year. As always, I am your host, Jess Marquez, and our guests today are Stephen Myers and Robert Montgomery, founders of an innovative new gaming ESG initiative known as Fintel Sustain. This may come as a bit of a shock, but the global gaming industry isn't always held in the best light. Some of this has to do with external factors, but the industry itself is not always its best advocate. With regard to investment, this often manifests in flawed or non-existent ESG reporting and practices. Two veterans of the industry, Stephen Myers and Robert Montgomery, have sought to change that with the launch of Fintel Sustain, a revolutionary new sustainability and ESG initiative that aims to highlight the victories and identify the weaknesses of the industry's biggest companies. Both men met with me at the recent ICE Barcelona conference in January. Robert, Steve, thank you guys so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Great to be here.
Good to be here.
So, I understand, I'm sure you guys obviously have a lot of experience. I'm sure the resumes are very long. You don't have to go line by line, obviously, but just for our viewers, our readers who may not be interested or may not know who you guys are, could you guys give a little bit of a brief background on your experience and then maybe how you guys met up and got connected with each other? If you want to start with Steve.
Okay, well, my background is industry. I was MD for Genting for the EMEA region for about 13 years, and since then I've been doing consulting. Met Robert a couple of years ago at a conference, and now here we are with Fintel Sustain. I'm involved in the industry still quite a lot, and that's what really brought this product to market, and the fact that, you know, in the past I've worked for other industries, parallel industries you may say, such as alcohol and gaming, you know, needs to try and perform in the same way, I would suggest.
What about you, Robert?
I'm an entrepreneur, investor. I've been involved in several businesses, startups. I owned an experience economy company, which I sold. I've been involved as a executive advisor, investor in several businesses, sort of spanning media, technology. I was an analyst, so I've had quite a varied career. I arrived into the gaming business probably 7 or 8 years ago with an investment, and kind of, you know, developed from there and got involved in different things. And per what Steve said, we met at a conference and we were both intrigued by this burgeoning sustainability space and what was happening, and moreover, what was the effect on companies in the gaming industry, and why. And so we started to have conversations and think about, you know, what is the cause and effect here, and where does gaming sit relative to other industries, and how can it turn the sustainability movement to its advantage? Because we had a perception that the gaming industry was at a slight disadvantage because it was behind other sectors, as Steve alluded to, like alcohol, in terms of its performance, its reporting, and the outcome that comes from the reporting measures that you do or you don't take. So we thought that there were defined benefits in terms of cost of capital, liquidity, valuation. It's a consolidating industry, so a lot of M&A falls down from not having the best compliance with sustainability factors that you possibly could. Now, compliance being a key word, this industry is all about regulation and compliance. Arguably, it should be the best at compliance with some of these burgeoning ESG factors and others with the advent of CSRD in Europe. It's a critical time for companies all over the world to be very good at performing and reporting on their sustainability. So we got intrigued by this and we said, okay, what should we do about this? And so we decided that we could go in and rate and rank the gaming industry companies for their sustainability. And the reason we decided we should go and do that is because we looked at the other parties that were rating and ranking the businesses in this sector. Large ratings agencies is where they mostly emanated from. And a lot of that data that they did was based on self-reporting, which investors do not trust, or it was based on top of the waves information, not deep dive information that pertains specifically to this industry. So we said, that's really interesting. Let's do a deep dive in the industry. let's make it available to all companies very democratically and transparently, because it's based on publicly available information, and let's see who wants to use our data. And to our mild surprise, we got very big buy-in from people, particularly from asset allocators, who said, yeah, you know, I'd like to know more about that sector to give me cover to allocate capital to it. I think this is a universal issue for this sector. There are some very serious investors who were very active in putting debt and equity into gaming industry companies. But there's a whole raft that do not. You know, it's a sin industry. Can we change that? Can we not? We don't know. But we thought, let's go out there and see what happens if we rate and rank the companies. And so we've done that, and we've released the top 10 in the regulated gaming industry, and we plan to continue to grow and develop. And, you know, hopefully the point is for investors and companies to use our data, for companies to pay attention, particularly with the advent of CSRD, to how they can improve their performance and reap the benefits.
Yeah, I think what was clear, if you're talking about gaming and alcohol, alcohol's had 20 years of getting their act together, aligning with the UN Sustainable Development Goals, creating a common thread between all the top companies in terms of how they report, the transparency they show with regards to that. Now, in gaming, that doesn't exist. Doesn't mean the information isn't there. The information is there in a lot of cases, and lots of companies do lots of really good things, but the link, this cohesion of the industry, doesn't exist at the moment, and there's a resistance to being more transparent. And there's differences between iGaming and land-based, B2B and B2C in terms of risk profile and stuff like that, but that's beginning to change. So the B2B suppliers who at one stage would think, well, we're not really involved in this, then suddenly, guess what, regulators are putting pressure on operators to drive down the supply chain, so suddenly they're becoming under more pressure to do that. So it's a really interesting area at the moment.
So it's fascinating, and you know, you guys had a lot of stuff in there that I kind of want to parse through and go into more detail here in the next few minutes. But like, I think my first question, just really quick on Steve, is like, you mentioned the resistance of, you know, on behalf of the industry. Like, from somebody who obviously worked on the operator side, like, why do you think that is, or like, what do you think that is born from? Like, why?
Well, the first thing is perception and reputation.
Sure.
The industry gets a bad deal generally with regards to that. People don't understand it. They are very wary of what gambling is. So, and in many ways, the industry's not done a lot to help itself. It's always on the back foot with reputational issues. Yet, you know, and this has resulted in a number of things. So when it comes to capital allocators, for example, they attach a higher risk to it. So guess what? The cost of capital is more expensive for you guys. So we thought, coming into this proposition, as Bob said, you know, we could create some real value around, you know, the whole sustainability piece, because we don't look at sustainability as just a sort of one channel thing. It's a really rounded product in our minds, so we cover performance and operational issues as well as the usual ESG, diversity, all those things. But you need to measure everything together, because some of the actions you may take can have a consequence in other areas. So that's why it's so important, and we use 170 plus data points to do that, and you can get real balance. So a company may have had a regulatory settlement, so they scored poorly on that, but what tends to happen there is they get better at some of the sustainability stuff, they get better at reporting, their compliance gets extra layers and process put to it. So there's a balancing act, and I think we compare peer-to-peer across the industry, and I think that's an important thing to do. We're Switzerland, as Robert likes to say. You know, we're independent. We don't have a view on that, but we do have consistency and independence.
We thank you for joining us on this episode of the GGB Podcast. To learn more about Stephen, Robert, Fintel Sustain, and all the important issues in gaming, visit ggbmagazine.com. To stay abreast of the weekly news of the industry, visit ggbnews.com and use the code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss an episode of the GGB Podcast by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.